Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome.
It's recording day.
Yeah.
So good to be here.
It is good to be here. Mm-hmm. And you know, our topic today, it's like a flashback from the past, improving your relationship with your teen. I got to share a story. Like my daughter, who is now an attorney and was an attorney at birth when she came out of my hoo-ha. One day, I think...
I picture coming out saying, object, I yes, object.
Absolutely.
That was way too long in there.
Absolutely right. So I don't remember what the problem was. I felt like she was being disrespectful and we had to go run the concession stand at the high school gym. Anyway, Fran, who is a licensed psychologist, acted like... someone possessed by the devil in the driveway because she was being disrespectful. I was yelling, don't be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And anyway, long story short, I texted Mark and I'm like, turn off her fucking phone. So I didn't say anything to her. So we go to the concession stand. The phone is now deactivated. I am like smiling to myself and she comes up to me and she's like, Mom, oh, also, I did, before he deactivated it, I'm like, give me your phone. And then she refused to give it to me. So that sent me to a whole other planet.
Mm-hmm. I'm psychotic.
Yes. That's when I was like, deactivate her phone. So anyway, after the concession stand, she's like, Mom, something's wrong with my phone. And I'm like, are you serious? What's wrong? And she's like, I don't know. It won't work. And I said, that's because when we were in the driveway, you wouldn't give me your fucking phone. So guess what? I was only going to take it away for today. Now we're looking at 7 days.
Yes. Sister.
Tell Cersei I wanted her to know it was me.
God, I get sweaty under my armpits just even recalling this story because mm-hmm. I was so pissed off.
Oh, yeah. I think every single parent has had that moment. Where you're like, it's sad, but this is why some species eat their young.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, but then we love them and they're adorable. And then they do something super sweet. And you're like, shit, you are a good human. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's annoying. So what are we talking about today?
Well, we mentioned it.
Did we?
Well, and then Fran went into the whole story. You might not remember because it was 45 minutes ago. After Fran got done with her story.
This is also just a normal day for Becky. Where am I? What day is it?
Oh, God.
Today when I said, what's our...
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the fantastic factoid.
Before we do the factoid.
Okay.
When I asked you what other topic we were recording today,
yeah.
And you were like, oh, we texted about it. And I'm like, it's adorable. She thinks I remember any of that. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Anxiety, depression, bullying, and drug and alcohol use and abuse are major problems among youth ages 13 through 17, according to Becky's favorite...
Pew, pew, pew,
yes,
pew, pew, pew.
Yes, her favorite source, the Pew Research Center survey.
They are actually a very good source of information.
They are.
I just can't help but go, pew, pew.
Yeah, I know, it's fun.
So... let's start with anxiety and depression.
Let's do it.
Fun ones. Let's just boom, dive right in.
Yep.
Many American teens are experiencing serious mental stress. In the new survey, 7 in 10 teens say that anxiety and depression are major problems among their peers. So they all have
ten.
A friend.
Right. 7 in 10. I mean, that's a lot. Yeah.
So who are you classifying as teenagers? Because I feel like this, the bar kind of gets lower and lower.
I classify teenagers as 13 to 19.
And I think the research, though, above is ages 13 through 17, according to Pew, but maybe other research sources brought in that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But basically, the stats we're giving you is also confirmed by other researchers and clinicians. I mean, mm-hmm. like, in your personal opinion, Becky, mm-hmm. what do you see? How do you see anxiety and depression impacting the teen?
This is what always comes to mind. And I'm going to talk about the teens and early 20s that I work with. But we were doing a training exercise with some of our students. And we did this you write your name, and then for every letter of your name, you write down a descriptor of yourself, an adjective. Mm-hmm. So Fran would be fantastic mm-hmm. and resourceful and amazing.
Obnoxious.
You don't have an O in your name, honey.
Aged would be A.
Here's what that is a good one. Ancient could be another one.
There you go. Yes. That's better. Awesome. That's better.
Yeah. Neurotic.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you have eternal because that's
eternal.
How long she's been here.
Yeah. Because I'm a vampire. I live forever.
The other end could be knowledge.
There you For those that can't spell, absolutely.
No, so we did this, and anybody that had an A in their name, almost everybody, put anxiety. That was their descriptor. And I was like, whoa, time out, kids.
Yeah.
We need to talk about this.
Yeah.
This should not be an adjective that you use for yourself.
Yeah.
So, and I was in a meeting not that long ago, and the person was talking about how this generation of students, they feel their feels. Like, my generation, your generation, we were kind of taught, like, you suck it up. There's, children starving in another, country, so you don't have it so bad, so just shut up. Mm-hmm. And so you did. You just shut up, and you did. And so I think it's good that we have this generation of kids that they can feel their feels, they can identify their feels. But sometimes, how did she say it? They can sit there and react to their emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's where I went, whoa, maybe that's where we need to do work. Like, feel your feels, but then determine what your reaction's going to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of them are feeling anxiety, because a lot of us do, or depression. But then I think and part of it's brain development, but we lose that ability to say, this is what's happening right now. It isn't necessarily defining me or my life or my future.
Right.
That's
and just
my viewpoint.
Understanding that feelings are fleeting. This state is not going to last forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something can be anxiety provoking, that doesn't mean you have anxiety. Mm-hmm. Could be just in this situation.
Right.
Like taking a speech class, that is intimidating for just about anybody.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do see, it impacting the family quite a bit too, because if your teen has anxiety, parents get nervous about it. They're like, oh no. Well, if they have anxiety, then what if it goes into depression? And then what if they die by suicide? And it's like, I don't want to discipline them because what if it puts them over the edge? And, I don't want to be too hard on them. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? It kind of stifles their parenting.
It does.
Yeah.
And it does no favors to their children.
No. It does not. I mean, if you have anxiety or depression, that doesn't mean you should be free from any responsibility or level of respect or, all the things.
And if you are the parent of a teen, I would highly recommend, if there is anxiety or depression, go get them help now.
Yeah.
Like me and my staff, we're happy to help them once they get to college. We're so happy to do that. However, teach them these things now, so that when they have this big life change, whether they go to a university or a tech school or just their first job after graduation, that they know what to do with that level of anxiety.
Yeah.
Because we all had anxiety when that happened.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. There is a huge concern that serious depression has been increasing among teens for the past several years, according to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. And this can lead to severe impairment, which is, we talk about this mm-hmm. a lot. You can't function in the normal range, or death by suicide.
21.5% of South Dakota high school students consider suicide, and 11.9% attempted. It is our number one cause of death for South Dakota teens.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
That's scary. It mm-hmm. really is scary. And of course, in South Dakota, the Native American rate of death by suicide is almost 3 times higher than the white population,
mm-hmm.
which is really sad as well.
It really is. Fewer than half of the, I can't say youths because I want to say Utes.
Utes.
Fewer than half of the Utes with major depression said they'd been treated for it in the past year. And that makes me sad. You guys, go get treatment. I'm still working, and I know you are too, Fran, with people who are like, my family doesn't believe in that. My family doesn't believe in that. My mm-hmm. family doesn't believe in therapy. My family doesn't believe in medication.
Right.
And I don't say this, but I want to scream from the top of my lungs, does your family believe in funeral planning?
Right.
Because this could seriously happen.
Yeah. And sometimes I think we forget too that, you know, parents might say we can't afford therapy or mm-hmm. whatever. And I think a good first line is like, have your child go to the school counselor.
Yes.
You know, and at least have them touch base with someone that's going to give them an opportunity to talk about how they feel in mm-hmm. a safe place and give them resources. And
coping skills.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Fundamental things like that.
Yes.
So what about alcohol and drugs?
Well,
those
they don't
only help, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So the Pew Research Center survey reports drug addiction at 51% and alcohol consumption at 45% are major problems among teen peers.
But what we're seeing is that alcohol is like old school. And yeah. what's going up is vaping and marijuana use significantly. Yeah.
And I will tell you what we've seen a huge increase, not just on our campus, but across the state of South Dakota, is synthetic marijuana, synthetic THC, mm-hmm. Which typically is vaped. And that is exponentially stronger. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing psychosis. Kid you fucking not.
Yeah.
We're seeing psychosis. We're seeing people just really go out of their heads because they think, oh, I'm just going to vape a little THC, just like my buddy does a gummy at night and my other friend likes to smoke a bowl. No, mm-hmm. that is not how it works.
So when you say, and I don't know about this, mm-hmm. synthetic THC, mm-hmm. is that Delta 8 or what is that?
No, that would be like THC wax.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it is just so highly concentrated.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I mean, I thought Delta 8 mm-hmm. is also a form of synthetic marijuana.
It could be. I don't think that's the one that is so concentrated, but I could be wrong. I'm okay. not even close to an expert on this. Mm-hmm. I just know that the THC wax is the one that is so highly concentrated.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean,
and you can overdose from it.
Really?
So remember how we always said,
yes.
Back in the day when I used to do alcohol and other drug education, we would say like, yeah, you cannot overdose on THC. So mm-hmm. we've got that going for us.
Right.
Not true anymore.
Wow.
You absolutely, with these new versions, can overdose.
And I have heard more and more of that, like where kids are ending up in ER and they're yep. psychotic.
They're passing out in the bathroom. And parents don't... Parents don't want to think it happens, but right. it does, and it's really scary.
Yeah.
Personal safety issues are also on teens' minds, so they have a lot going on. The Pew Center survey found that 55% of teens said bullying was a major problem among their peers, while a third called gangs a major problem.
So targeted groups, girls, younger students, students who identify as LGBTQ+, are more likely to say that they've been bullied.
And I think, did we do this in another episode or maybe we'll do it in an upcoming episode, but where do kids learn to bully a lot of the time?
At home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if you want your kids to not be bullies, really watch how you talk about people in your own home. Mm-hmm. Because they don't, and even if you're just making a joke, depending on how old your kids are, they might not understand that it's a joke and they might, you know, just go to school and act that out or repeat it and really do some harm.
Right. And or don't bully your kids, right?
Because and don't bully your own kids. Right. Yeah.
That happens. But what I also yeah. hear a lot is like an older sibling, typically male, is bullying a younger sibling mm-hmm. and the parents aren't addressing it. They're mm-hmm. just kind of letting it go.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
I think we have the misconception that it builds resiliency. Mm. Like, oh, we'll let them figure it out. We're not going to step in. And I get where that comes from. I completely understand it. But sometimes it can go too far mm-hmm. and you may not be aware of it. So four in 10 teens, so 40% roughly, say poverty is a major problem among their peers. Black teens were more than twice as likely as white teens to live in households below the poverty level.
One piece of good news. This is good news. Mm-hmm. All racial and ethnic groups have witnessed teen birth rate declines.
Yes. Because you are just not ready.
No.
I'm not saying you can't do a good job because I've known lots of people in that predicament that have done amazing jobs. Mm-hmm. But no, I always say I wasn't ready at 25.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you're ready at 14, 15, or 16.
Right.
Another thing I just want to say that, because we did a suicide intervention training last night, and we do a few of these every month. And what we're noticing is we do a little myths and facts section. Mm-hmm. And you go like, how many people have heard this myth? And it's really cool that fewer and fewer hands are being raised.
Good.
So yeah, some of these myths that we had. So I think there are some really positive things happening.
Good.
So basically teens are dealing with a lot, like a hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. And so what can we do as the parents of teens to keep the relationship strong or make it better? One of my favorites, quality time, is family time.
Yes.
When a child becomes a teenager, it suddenly becomes a lot less cool to hang out with mom and dad. Not in our house. We're super cool.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Totally.
However, reinforcing family structure is so important.
Right. So, I mean, and when I work with families a lot and I say, do you have basic meals together? Mm-hmm. And they're looking at me, well, yeah, we all have our TV trays and we're sitting there watching TV together, or everybody's on their phones. Mm-hmm. I am talking about family meals without the television or cell phone or iPad or whatever it is. Doing some home projects together. Mm-hmm. You know, let's build a deck together or something like that. Board game nights, volunteer together. Mm-hmm. I just think one-on-one time is so reinforcing to kids, right? And they... Even as teenagers, so many of my teenagers will tell me, I do wish my parents would spend more time with me.
Yeah.
And they're not seen as like my parents are nerds. They miss their parents. They're just not sure how to connect with them.
Yeah. Coffee dates are really nice. Because I don't know too many teens that don't like coffee.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. We showed our kids Princess Bride for the first time.
I do not think that means what you think
this
it means.
This weekend, God, it just hits so good.
It's and the best
it was
movie.
One of those, like, when Brian and I were just, we were just rolling. Like, we hadn't seen it in years, and it's so good. And they're like, yeah, this is pretty good. But Isaac, our 6-year-old boy, he echoed, or like, he predicted what Fred Savage was going to say. Because he was doing it himself. So the first time that Fred Savage was like, wait a minute, is this a kissing book? I don't want to do this. Like, it was right before that. Isaac's like, ew, they're kissing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Anytime, because we've given our kids the privilege of watching that movie as well. Mm-hmm. And anytime we're watching a show as a family and there's something to do with a wedding, one of us will go, marriage.
So cute.
I love it. Set a good example. Be mindful of how many substances you use in front of your teen, including excessive alcohol and smoking. They do as they see. Now, research will tell you that the familial, the genetic factor is stronger than the nurture factor. But it is still, you want to do some good modeling.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember very clear, like when everybody in the neighborhood was smoking, and my dad did smoke. I mean, he really battled that for years. But when I was 8, he took me out on the front porch and he lit a cigarette and he's like, inhale. Yep. And I did. And I coughed and coughed and coughed. And he goes, well, see, this is what everybody's doing. Now you can see. Now you never have to try it again.
Yeah. So we were out at the lake cabin when we had one, and Allison was younger, and I was drinking a bourbon on the rocks. Mm-hmm. And she goes, can I have a sip of that? And I was like, yeah, actually, yeah, you can. Go ahead. And she takes a sip and she goes, And Jim and I just looked at each other like, shit. Like, any one of my friends would have taken a sip of that and went, oh my God, it's lighter fluid. This is disgusting. I can't stand it. Nope, not my 15-year-old.
Wow. Mm. Oh boy.
She's turned out okay.
Okay, that's good news. More than okay. Set boundaries, people.
Yes.
Set rules. Hold your teens accountable. We all know nobody likes doing this. Mm-mm. It sucked. Yep. Being a teen parent. Oh my God, it was... Oh, hard.
Yeah.
But think about it this way. You are loving your child by setting boundaries for them, and it teaches your teen to be respectful and responsible. Mm-hmm. If you are struggling with this, please go get help, because we don't want your kids in trouble with the law or committing crimes or bullying other kids. Like, let's get it under control. And honestly, don't wait till they're teenagers to do this.
Do this sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, where you can get a school counseling degree on the school track, where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. Yes. But is it KCREP approved?
It is KCREP approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu, you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby.
Oh. Be respectful. Refrain from teasing, criticism, and name-calling. Our family's terrible at this. Hearing this from a parent hurts a team's self-esteem and can make them feel unsafe at home. So I should say we're all super sarcastic, not just us towards our kids. That would be terrible.
Right.
But it makes them refrain from opening up to you. And so you've got to read the room. You've got to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And in our family, we always say you have to know what you can and cannot make fun of. Mm-hmm. Every one of us in our family has something that is off the table. You are not allowed to make fun of that because mm-hmm. it's just a sore subject.
Right. So no, what are you, stupid?
No.
No, yeah, that happens.
It does.
All right. Show you care, whether it's by making a special lunch or sending them notes, just because it's important that your teen feels loved and supported by you during their teen years. They've got a lot to deal with, mm-hmm. obviously. And, you know, LGBTQ plus teens, even if your child comes out to you and you don't get it, you don't like it, you don't want it, it is so important to help them feel accepted and loved yeah. because this isn't about you. The death by suicide rate is so much higher for this mm-hmm. population, and it's really important that you get your own help if you can't accept them. Mm-hmm. But that is on you. You have to figure out how to do that.
Because if you've ever had the thought, I'd rather have a dead child than a LGBTQ plus child, mm-hmm. you need some therapy.
Yeah.
Because I know people that have deceased children mm-hmm. that would trade places in a heartbeat. So yeah. if you do happen to have a fight with your teen, can't imagine that would ever happen.
No.
But if it does,
yeah.
take the time to apologize, own your stuff, and emphasize that you love them no matter what. I have had to do that. And I know you have too, mm-hmm. where I've said, I stand by my words. I do not stand by my delivery. Yeah. That was inappropriate.
Right. Yeah. Work on having open conversations and meaningful discussions. And this can be challenging. This is one thing that I think is really helpful. They have so many great games out there with a million questions you mm-hmm. can ask. So it's like if you're having trouble having good conversations, do a few cards. Mm-hmm. You know, read the cards and talk and ask each other's questions. Ask their thoughts and opinions about all kinds of stuff.
The big
religion,
stuff.
Politics, sex, drugs. Talk with them every day, like what's going on with your interactions with other kids, their concerns. And you know, one thing, I think the greatest thing you can do is help them learn how to problem solve.
Yes.
Don't be the helicopter parent that's like, well, I'll fix it for you. Like, I'll do it. It's like, no, mm-hmm. let them figure out like what are ways you could handle this and then go do it.
And
I've
always been a fan of if you are having one of these tough topics or tough conversations and they have a different viewpoint than you do, don't just be like, well, you're dumb or that's dumb or I can't believe you think that. Sit back and just say, tell me more about why you think that way.
Right.
Let them explain to you, because they can be pretty smart.
Right.
And so maybe there's something you've never thought of, or maybe they are just totally way off in left field, and then remind yourself that they are a teenager mm-hmm. and that's okay. But try not to just shoot them down.
Right.
Keep them involved in activities of some kind and or a job. Please, for the love of God, don't let them sit around. Mm-hmm. If they participate in something, your presence is important. Be there if you can. And if you can't, make sure somebody attends to support them. I've heard people say like, oh, I don't like football, so I don't go to it. Or I can't, you know, that concert lasts forever. I'm not going to it. I will tell you, our kids, every single one of them would say, it's fine if you don't want to come. You know, I know you guys are busy if you have work and, mm-hmm. But very rarely did we miss. And every time we walked in, you could see, and I've seen other mm-hmm. kids do this too, you could see them scanning.
Yeah.
And then looking, the minute they see yeah. you know, even though it was like totally cool, we don't need you, I'm fine, it's no big deal. Totally excited that we were
yes,
there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Even if it was low key.
So especially for you with volleyball, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do you go to every game? Like what's the.
Yes.
Yeah. My question was, what's the line of like, I'm coming and supporting you and going to every other game? Like, that's a lot of time. That's why my kids aren't allowed to play hockey.
I mean,
not the physical implications.
Yeah.
I don't mm-hmm. want the schedule.
It is, you know, when I was in private practice, I could set my own schedule. So that was easy. When I took the job at Northern, that was part of me taking the job. As I said, this will be my kids, you know, half of her junior year, all of her senior year, and I'm not going to miss anything. And they were in full support of that. And it does mean, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was working on my laptop driving to and from something to get stuff done, but they allowed me the flexibility to do that. Not every job will do that. And I think mm-hmm. that's when you sit your kid down and you say, okay, I can't come to Saturday's event, whatever it might be, because I just can't get off of work. Mm-hmm. And I have to go to work so we can have a house and food and all that good stuff. But please know, I can't be there, but Susie's mom is going to be there, and she said she can cheer, you know, loud for the both of us or whatever. I don't. What do you think?
I think that if I were to do it again, yeah, we went to every single thing, Brody. My husband shut down the combine to go to everything, and that would be driving
That's unusual.
To who knows where, yeah. all over the place. But I just think that we put too much emphasis on our kids being in activities. They don't need to be in 12 things.
They don't need to be in 12 things.
No, even if they're super talented, athletic, whatever it is, and Musical. They want to be in everything, that they don't have to be in everything. If I were to go back and do it again, I would have just said, you can pick one, you know, two things or whatever, and we're traveling. The rest of the time, we as a family are going, because I think we do our kids a disservice by not offering them more opportunities. You're with the family, you're learning together, and there's more to life than activities.
Yeah. It's a delicate balance.
It is.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, if you are co-parents with an ex, please, oh my God, please do everything you can to
pisses me off.
Yeah, put your differences aside. Work together to parent your teen, because these are the years where teens are like, I'm going to be at dad's house. And they're really not. They're banging Joey. And they're going to use it to their advantage, right? And these are the years. Now listen to this. Visitation schedules may need to be adjusted. Like, your kid may say to
Fran, it's my time.
Right. Well, you know what?
No, this is my time.
Yep, right. It's your time. So quit getting butt hurt when Julia wants to stay with me more, because she doesn't want to pack all her jeans, her makeup, and her curling iron to come see you for a week and then move back. You know, it's like moving.
You know, I think if more, this just chaps my hide so much. I wish more parents, and there are a lot of you that do it wonderful, so you can quit listening for a moment. But there's a lot of co-parents out there that it's so selfish. It's me, me, me. And I just think if you used your child's well-being as your compass, a lot of things would just take care of themselves, because now it's not you against your ex.
It's in their best interest.
It's us doing it for our children.
Yeah.
Anyway, so stepping off the soapbox.
Very true.
Character building is really important. So giving them positive feedback when they are being kind, respectful, helpful, and responsible is a great way to reinforce them doing the things that you want to teach them.
Right. So I like using those specific words.
Yes.
You're being respectful. You're being kind, not just good job, because what does that mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I caught you doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really cool, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. If you can afford it, travel together. Yeah. And again, you guys, I cannot emphasize enough, turn off the social media as much as you can. Any distractions when you have that quality family time. If you can't afford travel, go to museums. There's lots of free cultural experiences you can do together.
Or just go camping.
Go camping.
You know,
I won't go camping, but we did.
We did not have a lot of money growing up, and camping in a tent was something we did a lot of. And I have a very vivid memory when I caught a tagged bullhead and won a 12 pack of Coca-Cola.
Wow.
I'll never forget that. Yeah. Strawberry Lake in North Dakota with my dad.
Ah.
So, and that did not cost much money, because we did really go in a tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was fine.
Awesome.
Yeah. But that travel is such a good thing.
Okay. So before we get the question from Brody.
Yes.
The sources today are Pew Research, Psych Central. We're like 10 years old, both of us. And all right. So here, lay it on us, Brody man. Bearded wonder.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Okay. I think these are fun.
I do too. I just laugh when you call them the bearded wonder.
Let me just scan this. Pretty sure we're okay. Yeah. Okay. I have a son-in-law. Let's call him Jeff, that I don't get along with. I find him to be incompetent. Clearly, I'm not a fan, and I'm not going to pretend about that. He's a prankster, and for the most part, they're harmless, if not annoying. I used to cook a ton for get-togethers, but I'm getting old. Instead, we have dinner where we do a potluck. We have a shared document where I list the items that need to be brought. For example, salad, chicken dish, dessert, so on. People will put their name next to the items that they want to bring. My daughter travels often, so there have been multiple times where he will come alone. This is where the issues arise. He'll sign up for an item and then bring in a joke version. He signed up to bring a fish entree and brought the candy sushi. Well, multiple hate chicken, so they didn't have an entree to eat. Claims he will bring in lasagna, and it was a cake. I've talked to him and multiple members of the family have as well. My daughter said she will handle it, but she can't stop him when she's gone. It's a problem since him lying makes it so we run out of entree food and now I have to cook more. It annoys other members since they usually have to go home hungry. Really, the first time was funny, but it's not, but it's just fucking annoying now. This time I asked for him to just bring a salad. Just sign up for a salad. He can buy a kit at Walmart. He can buy a kit at Walmart, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Super easy.
Yep. Yeah. It's,
I could even do that.
I hit something and I lost my
spot. I've done that more than once, actually. Mm-hmm. Little salad kit from wherever.
I love those.
Yep. Things. He can buy a Walmart, but just please bring a salad. He came to the event with a bowl of candy.
Wow.
Candy salad.
Candy salad.
Grace made one the other day.
And call it candy salad. Yeah. I kicked him out and started making a salad for dinner. He's pissed. The daughter and him are calling me a jerk for kicking him out. Am I the asshole?
No.
Why don't you expound on that before I give my opinion?
Do you love how I just always jump in with very opinionated fine. From the get-go? No, I don't think they are. My caveat would be if they've talked to him about it. If they've said to him, hey, you know what, Jeff, the first time it was funny. Now we need you to bring a fucking lasagna. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like this, we need to feed people and it's not funny anymore. So just knock it off.
It sounds like they have.
If they've mm-hmm. done that, then yeah, it was appropriate to kick him out. And if this were my daughter, I would say if he wants to bring a frickin' salad next time, he can stay. But he's not going to stay and eat everybody else's food mm-hmm. when nobody wants a candy salad. Well, I would. But so that's my opinion.
Okay. So here's my opinion. Okay. This is who your daughter decided to marry, right? Mm. And so this isn't really about him. This is about what kind of relationship do you need to maintain with your daughter? So I would just say, daughter, you're going to Venmo me $25 for this holiday. Your husband doesn't have to bring shit. In fact, we'd rather he not. And I'll go buy whatever we need.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think that sets a precedent for the other members of the family?
No, then? Because apparently they're everybody else relieved. Gets it. You know?
Yeah. They're going to be relieved. Oh God, what a great idea, Mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Thank you. Well, every once in a while, that brain, that old ancient brain kicks
in. That's how they did it Eternal. In the 1720s. Right. So I couldn't go back to that. They Venmo'd. I didn't even catch the use of Venmo. That was really good, Fran.
I know. I'm high tech like that, yeah.
Oh, you guys, we are the shrinks.
And that's a wrap.